Hello, I'm Sarah Vine, and this is Sarah Vine's Female Half Hour from Mail Plus. I am joined this week and every week by my friend and co-host Imogen Edwards-Jones. Coming up, the world's premier garden show is upon us once again, and we'll be talking about the Chelsea Flower Show with Gardener's Question Time panellist and six-time Chelsea Gold Medal winner, Bunny Guinness. Plus, thousands of students are taking their universities to court over what they say amounts to breach of contract. We'll be talking to one of those students and the solicitor representing her. Imogen.
Yes.
How has your week been going?
Well, I'm a little bit nervous.
Yes, me too.
Are you?
My son's doing two A-levels today.
Two today. I've got
History in the morning.
I've got
English.
One today.
You've got the same one too. English.
I've got one. It's almost like I'm doing them. What is wrong with us?
Do you know, I actually had an anxiety A-level dream last night about my son's A-level.
I'm sure. Were you naked?
No. I was doing an A-level myself. And I'd
probably
done...
quite well.
I can't remember. And anyway, I got to the end of it and it was all done and I'd finished the question and there were 5 minutes to go and then I suddenly looked at the desk and it had gone.
Oh.
It had disappeared.
Someone had nicked the paper.
No,
or was it
I don't know.
It
had evaporated.
That's a classic anxiety
Very bizarre. It's like one of those anxiety dreams where you're trying to dial a phone number and you just can't dial the number.
Or you lose your teeth and your pants at the same time.
I know, it was awful.
Or you're running naked through syrup or something. I honestly don't think that my parents even noticed me doing A-levels.
No.
My mother was too busy having a fag and a Chardonnay.
Totally. I wasn't even in the same country as my parents. I don't think they even knew which A-levels I was taking.
I know. So why are we so pathetic?
I have no idea.
It's ludicrous.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous.
I know.
I mean, I think I should definitely go and have a fag and a Chardonnay and forget all about it.
Well, I also don't think that we had a sense that A-levels were quite as... I mean, they're very hyped up these days, these exams, aren't they?
It's an extraordinary concept, the idea that your parents are worrying about your A-levels. And also that they actually really matter. Because listen here, they don't.
They don't. Also, our children are going to live far too long, so they've got plenty of time to do retakes. I always say to my son, just do retakes.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Also, there aren't any jobs anyway, so fine.
And exactly. AI is going to take all our jobs and then kill us in the next 5 years.
Yes, apart from that lifeguard duty, I think, on the beaches of Cornwall.
I think that's going to be a safe career option.
Scaffolding and lifeguarding.
Yes. Well, I wish that both of our children all the luck in the world.
Yes.
I mean, also, the other thing is when they get to university, they also have to do lots of work, which I don't seem to remember doing either.
No. And they have to pay for it.
My poor daughter has been writing an essay a day for the last 2 weeks.
I didn't do a single
essay. I mean, an essay a day.
Really? I don't remember doing any essays.
And then she's also had two essay exams where they give you the title of the essay at 9 o'clock in the morning and you have to file the essay by the next morning or something.
What?
Yeah.
Why don't you pop that through AI?
She's in her first year.
Why don't you pop that through AI?
She's not allowed to.
Finished.
You get expelled for doing that.
Finished. It's only 9:05. That would be
no,
done.
No. It's really, they make them work really hard.
Oh, it's all ludicrous.
I mean, I think I wrote one essay in my first year at university.
I can't remember doing anything.
I think I was told off for only writing one essay in my first year at university.
I did turn up to lectures in my pyjamas, which was my pathetic form of rebellion.
I remember that my Latin class was at 9 o'clock in the
Latin?
Morning.
Well, what did you do Latin for?
Because I did languages in it.
Latin?
I did French and Italian. You had to do Latin as well.
Latin?
Yes, Latin. You know, the root of all...
Evil
language. Anyway, I had to do Latin. I was supposed to go to Latin at 9 o'clock in the morning and there was never anyone there. Because it was 9 o'clock in the morning.
No, of course there wasn't. No, I had to do language class every morning at 9 o'clock. I never went. As a result, I'm not very fluent.
Anyway, it's time now to talk to Bunny Guinness.
Excellent.
For over a century, the Chelsea Flower Show has been delighting visitors, those of us who don't have hay fever. I can't go to Chelsea because I just cry for 3 hours.
And blow your nose.
And blow my nose. Yeah. With demonstrations of cutting-edge garden design and the latest flowers and products. One person who knows the place like the back of her hand is landscape architect and Gardener's Question Time panellist and six-time Chelsea, which is a bit greedy.
Six gold medals.
Bunny Guinness. Bunny, hello.
Hello. It's lovely to be here with you both.
Oh,
thank you.
And I'm just admiring your makeup, having listened to your makeup podcast.
Oh, yes.
And just trying to guess which ones of those products you're sporting.
I'm not looking my best today because I've had an eye operation.
I know, they didn't do her knees at the same time. It was a massive tragedy. I was hoping they might do her knees, but no. Yes.
Get head, a sauna. Shoulders, knees and toes.
Get a sauna, then you don't need to have your knees done. I'll tell you that.
Very good. Oh, is that really?
My mother has an infrared sauna. She swears by
it. That's it. Yeah, I've got a little dome I crawl into.
Is that what you've got? An infrared sauna? God,
yes.
What?
A sauna dome, and it raises your body temperature by 1 to 2 degrees. If you look at East Finland University, I've done research for over 20 years, and it improves your life expectancy, your forgetfulness, your heart, your stroke ratio, everything by like 67%. It's massive.
Is I it, need it, my forgetfulness no, improved.
My mother has one, and she is literally 10 really? Years younger than me. Now,
yeah, yes. they are. Yeah. Honestly, in Finland, they're racing around like God knows what. They're so young and fit because they expensive? All have saunas, more saunas than people.
I don't know. My mother just has one that you plug in.
Yeah, is you plug it in and it cost, I think it was like £500. But I think it's worth it. A real one costs like
a tenner. Get that on Klarna.
Yeah, no, I think my mother, well, I don't think it's on Klarna. No, she's had it for a while, actually. Yeah. She swears it. Oh.
And if you've done a day in the garden, you jump in that and you come out feeling like new.
Okay, right. We're getting one of those.
We could have the recording booth as an infrared sauna. We could. Would kill two birds with one stone.
Bonnie, can I ask you, what does a gold medal look like? Is it like in the Olympics?
But to be honest, I hate to tell you this, but the ones I've received, the person who puts up the money, the sponsor, has always had it. And they have a little card with a thing embossed on it. But no, I think it is just that card.
So it's like sports day. You just get a sort of boring ribbon. Certificate.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't even get that because it's the people who put up the dosh that get the medal. Because they obviously put up a lot of money.
Yes.
And they can display it wherever or whatever.
How amazing. Yeah. So have you been this year, I presume?
Yes, I was up there last Thursday and then I went up on press day on Monday and I was there yesterday. So it's very busy, very
Have
humming.
You got a garden there this year?
No. But Horatio's Garden, who I don't know if you've heard of the Horatio's charity. I've designed a garden for them. They do them in spinal unit hospitals, okay? Mm. And they're fantastic. Because if you have a spinal injury, you could be in hospital for 2 years. Oh, and you could be stuck in a ward on your back without being able to control temperature. And so Olivia Chappell, whose son Horatio was the poor boy that was attacked by a polar bear in Norway and died. Mm. And he wanted to be a surgeon. So she started up the charity because he had talked to patients in spinal unit saying what would be the best thing you could ever have stuck on your back, and they all said gardens. So he had wanted to do this before he died, and then after he died she started up this charity to do it. And so I've done one in the hospital at Oswestry because there are only like 14 spinal units in the country, and she's gradually doing them all around the country. And this year she got a Chelsea garden and she won best in show. And that's amazing because I really think it's the best cause ever.
So are they indoor gardens?
No, they're outdoors. So you have to design them for beds. So people can wheel your bed out or your wheelchair. And we've managed to put a fireplace in the one in Oswestry in a garden room, which I was amazed that you could have fumes of wood smoke and convivial fumes rather than, you know, that awful hospital smell. So
amazing. Mm. So this year,
Weed fest? It is a bit of a weed fest. I have to say, Unity and I went round, my daughter went round yesterday, sort of counting up the number of gardens that you think, well, I could put that in my garden. And there were probably 5 out of maybe there's 20 something like that you could probably do that. The rest were not just weeds. Obviously, they mix weeds with other things, but there was a fair showing of dandelions and things that you made your hands want to itch.
What is the technical definition of a weed? Because I got a friend who's a gardener and I walk along the street and I say, oh, that's pretty. And he goes, that's a weed. And it just looks like a flower to me.
Plant in the wrong place, isn't
that's
it? Isn't
that exactly weed? Any plant in the wrong place. So I was hoiking out a builder bag full of forget-me-nots the weekend because, they were lovely to start with, and then you turn your back and leave them 1 year and then you've got nothing but forget-me-nots. Mm. So it is just that. So you can be an ornamental plant or whatever. But the RHS are just trying to rebrand them as superheroes because they're trying to get people interested in growing anything that attracts
rewilding.
Wilds.
Yes. Is that the
but,
sort of
and
thing?
So they've sort of gone overboard a bit. You know, they always do these soundbitey things to make the press stand up. But I think a lot of pernicious weeds like stinger nettles and things have a place, but preferably not in my garden. Mm.
Do they come from somewhere, weeds? Because, I mean, Japanese knotweed, obviously, is not a native plant, is it?
No,
I mean,
We brought it over as an ornamental. And the Japanese eat it. You see, I've done a lot of work in Japan. And if you go there, they think it's fantastic. And it's not mad thug over there because they've got things to control it, you know, natural predators. But you bring it here, we start to admire it, and then we hate it, and then it takes over. So it's not a good one, really. And
have you heard this thing about talking about rewilding, about how you're not supposed to mow your lawn for all of May?
No, May. Yes, that was all the rage last year. But actually, I think they want you to be on it this year too. They're trying to push it. And it's all about increasing the insect population, the bird population, etc., bringing in wildlife. Which is fine, but if you've got three young teenage kids that want to play football and you want to do handstands, which I'm sure you two are handstanding,
I'm very good at a cartwheel all the time.
Yeah, then you want it mown, don't you? Or if you want to lie on it.
But I mean, the insect thing is real, isn't it? Because I mean, I drive through France, my windshield is covered in bugs. And then as soon as I get across the channel, there's like one lone mosquito.
And if you're as old as me, when I used to drive through in England, we used to be like, you know, it would be smattered with stuff you'd killed. But now nothing at all. I've just got pigeon poo all over my windscreen at the moment. But no, it is a real thing. The insects are declining massively. But I just think that the best way we can save the planet, one of the ways, is just to have a garden that we use, you spend time in. So you're not out spending money, burning fuel and things like that. And so if you have a garden that you can use, however you do it, I think that's bound to
help. Also, it's very good exercise. It keeps you healthy, doesn't it, gardening?
Yeah, it's lovely. I did a garden for a physiotherapist once, designed her garden for her. And she said to me, and she's a top one. She used to work with Olympic Rose, who got the gold medal. She said, every spring, my studio just fills up with all these crocs that come in with necks on one side and poorly backs and stuff. And it's purely because they rush out in spring, having not done anything for 6 months, spend a day weeding and going. But what they don't realise is if you spend 3 hours in the garden, you might do a bit of gentle hoeing, you might push the lawnmower for a bit, and you might maybe do a bit of weeding. Then that is equivalent to 3 hours full on in the gym in terms of calorie input. So that's massive exercise, and you're putting your body in really weird shapes, which is good for it in positions because you're stretching all those muscles. But you have to warm up, you have to wind down, and you have to be fit to do that. But you don't. You get carried away and you can't stop. And so you come in and then the next day you're like a croc.
Ronnie, can I ask you a question? I managed to kill a peace lily.
A peace lily?
How is that possible?
It's quite easy, I think. You probably overwatered it with kindness. Did you do that?
I was very sad because I thought, this is a peace lily. Peace lilies never die. It's going to be fine. I don't think I did overwater it, but it just did.
Was it in a pot?
I talked to it a bit as well.
Was it in a conversation?
No, it was in a pot.
Yeah, and you didn't put it by the window. Was it over the winter? Because it got very cold. And if you people put it on the windowsill and it's minus 10 outside.
That's what it was.
Then it really feels that. Especially if you've drawn the curtains. If you've drawn the curtains, well, you're stopping the heat warming it and you're putting it in the fridge, really.
So you slowly murdered it over the winter.
I feel terrible about
it.
Well,
you should.
I had to put it in the compost this morning because there was just nothing left to do for it, really.
Were there really exciting, amazing new... I know, because what I like is those new plants that they come up with.
Yeah. Oh, yes, there's a new agapanthus, isn't there? There's an agapanthus, dark purple blue
agapanthus,
which I think won Plant of the Year award.
Called Blackjack.
I had a press release on it this morning and I flung the email back and said, please, could you send me a sample? So I hope they do, because it did look a cracker. But how long? You see, the thing is, they get behind these campaigns, behind these plants, which they put up for the top plant award. And sometimes they haven't grown them for that long. And so sometimes they make this burst onto the stage and sometimes they're not actually very good doers.
Very robust.
I mean, some agapanthus got through outside with me last year and they were fine, but some of them are quite tender. But I hope this one is a good doer.
Yeah. Can I also ask you my special question? Because I've been, what's it like working with Monty Dawn?
Oh, go.
Because he's so
handsome. Are you a fan? Are you a Monty
Dawn
fan?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Imogen wants to marry Monty.
I'd like to marry Monty Dawn.
So many people say that, but he was a very naughty boy, you know. Because on the television, apparently he said, I don't know if you saw Mark Gregory's garden, but it's one of those heart-stopping gardens because he always does these old kitchen garden bits, beautiful water features running through it, all very sensitive and lovely. And he had this tree in it, which he was just coming into leaf. So it wasn't in full leaf looking magnificent, but it was coming into leaf. And he took a bit of a pundit on this, if that's the right word, because it was his favourite tree. It was a type of gladiolus. And he said he really wanted that tree, and it had sort of reddish foliage when it came out, and it turned with the walls, etc., but it wasn't in full leaf. And Monty Don said, why is he using a dead tree? Which I thought was so mean, because he could easily see those leaves on that tree.
You've ruined it for me now, Bunny.
But apparently he did go up to Mark this morning and apologise for saying that. Maybe in the heat of the moment he got carried away and wanted to create a bit of a frisson.
Was it a joke? Maybe he was making a joke.
Oh, no.
No, we don't joke about trees.
No, it was just trying to create a frisson, and it sort of backfired a bit, I think.
He is the most handsome man in the world, though, and he's very good with his hands.
Well, you can have him. I totally disagree. It's not my type at all.
Very funny. So what should we be planting for next year, then? Presumably not this year.
What's the fashionable flower for next year? Also, I wanted to ask you very quickly, how do you get the timing right? Because I would just be in a complete sort of paddy the whole time, not worrying about the flower not flowering. Just
you spend your whole year in a paddy. Now, wait, on the lead up to it, you really do. And the poor people are growing them for you and moving them in and out of grass houses. I mean, those irises, you say, they are superb, but they flower for a week, maybe. And if it's sunny, really hot sunny, they'll be over in a flash. And they can peak before the show, they can peak after the show. They're a nightmare. But I imagine Sarah Price will have 600 spare at the back, all in different stages,
so
ready to replace.
You just plant them in stages they mature.
I think she grew 800.
Them in and out.
I think she grew 800.
Was it 800? You That's know what more she about said, the yeah. show than me, darling.
No, well, I'm sorry.
Do you remember
I'm
your mother, when you got married, you had cornflowers?
There and my mother did that, yes.
She did cornflowers. There's endless conversations about whether the cornflowers were going to be ready or not.
Oh, they're easy, though, aren't they?
I did September, cornflowers. Italy, funny.
Yeah. I did them in UK in July, and they were easy, obviously, for my son's
September,
wedding.
Italy, that's science.
Yeah, that is, yes. And she had them all on tune, did she? Played
ready,
nicely.
Yes, for buttonholes, for the chaps.
Oh, lovely.
For the ushers, that's the word.
So, yes, you were going to tell us what flower is next
year's
flower.
I think it's probably one of the salvias. These new hardy salvias are coming out. And, I can't remember the names of them. But on the salvia stand there, if you go there, it's the Middleton Nursery, and they've got loads of new salvias. And salvias are brilliant because, I mean, like the one that I grow a lot is Serapetosi, and it's got a lovely magenta colour. And it will start to bloom in about 3 weeks' time, and it will just go on all summer, and that will get through the winter, and it will be back next year.
That's
so they're
a good
easy
idea,
peasy.
Yeah, something
And they're
lasts.
Lovely. Yeah, so they are really, really good.
Are they unkillable?
Are they edible?
Sarah.
Are they edible?
You could try. They're not like an edible sage.
It's not Bulloris salvia.
I would hate you to try and die, but I think I would have to Google Scholar that one, to see. Yes.
Okay, yes. No, probably not edible then.
No.
Not with butter and sage and gnocchi.
Yeah, no, because that is sage.
I think I'll stick in the kitchen. I've actually managed to keep a basil plant alive now for quite a long time.
Oh, that is
I'm
marvellous.
I'm very, very proud of my efforts with the basil plant.
With basil, you see, I buy a little basil pot from the supermarket and they've got 50s tiny plants shoved into a tiny 9 centimetre pot.
Yeah.
So I just get my big terracotta pots, pull them apart, and pop the little plants into the bigger pot so they got more air and water.
Yeah.
And then they live on my kitchen windowsill for 4 months, and then I recycle them. And then I'm picking for pesto within about a week of doing that.
That's what I do. And I also have a couple of tomato plants, which I eat the tomatoes off.
Oh, Sarah,
all the time,
you've got much greener fingers than you say.
I'm quite good with edible plants. Yeah. I'm just not very good with pretty plants for some reason.
They're the same, really. I think it's because you love edible plants and you give them more nurture than the others.
So they're obviously trying to please me by producing more fruit.
Yeah. When is the last day of Chelsea then, Bunny?
It's Saturday.
Saturday, 4 o'clock is the time.
And is that when all the old ladies like us go and buy the plants?
Yes. And it's worse than the Harrods
sale. It's worse than the Harrods sale. You go to Chelsea, you go to Sloane Square too, but it's full of people like me and Imogen carrying sort of giant
plants bigger than our children.
But I have to say, I don't know if it's the same now since they rehouse a lot of these gardens, but if you go on the Sunday when they're pulling all these wonderful displays to bits and you go and bin dive in the skips, I used to come back with car bootfuls. They probably say, oh no, that's not the case. But a lot of those plants, although they are sending on to wherever these gardens are going, some of them, just frankly, having had a week at Chelsea, are not worth it.
Where are the skips?
Where are the skips?
They're in the showground. You'll have to smile nicely and get it, and you'll probably have to wear steel toe cap boots now because they've obviously upped the regulations and things. But if you creep in there and smile and just go and you know, jump into a skip and be careful you don't stand on any nails, etc., health and safety. But it's amazing what you find. I found some fantastic stuff in skips at Chelsea.
That's the top tip of the day. Yep.
So it's skip hunting for
yes,
you.
Yes, okay. I'll race you to there.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Very
important.
Pleasure.
That was Bunny Guinness. If you'd like to see some of the gardens she's created or would like some tips for your own garden, she has an exciting new YouTube channel. Search for Bunny Guinness. We'll put a link to her channel in the show notes. University students normally expect stimulating lectures.
I'm just laughing. Carry on.
Debates and the chance to socialise with friends. But unfortunately for students studying during the pandemic, the plans were changed. They were told to sit alone in their rooms. In fact, they were locked in their rooms, I seem to remember.
Some of them were sealed
into
their rooms.
Do you remember they had signs saying, help?
Yeah.
And told to log into Zoom calls for their tuition. Now, thousands of them are saying that they don't think it's fair that they were charged the full fee for the experience. Mm. So they have organised under the banner student group claim and are seeking compensation. We're joined now by Jovita Maniak, who studied her Masters in Crime and Forensic Science at UCL in 2020.
Good degree.
My old alma mater. I went to UCL.
Oh, that's a nice...
I did literally nothing for 4 years.
Yeah.
And Olivia Selly, who is a solicitor for student group claim. I'm very interested in this because I have so many views and they're all going to come out at once. So I'm going to say them and then we're just going to have to put them in some sort of order. Mm. Number one, Imogen and I didn't pay for our university.
No, we did not.
So I think it's bad that people have to pay for their university now because I don't see why you should suddenly start paying when we didn't. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, my daughter's at university and they're all on rent strike, which is quite an interesting thing.
And number three, we've got two about to go. And is it worth it?
So that's the thing. So the conversation I endlessly have with my son, who is doing his A-levels today.
Yes,
in fact,
today,
he's doing English at the moment as we speak, along with Imogen's daughter, who's also doing English. Good luck, guys.
Yes. Keep scribbling.
Is it worth it? I mean, my daughter is enjoying her degree, but it's a lot of money. Mm. So I can imagine how very annoyed you must be. And the thing is, I think the difference between Imogen and I, I can't see how awful my education was.
No,
I
terrible.
I can't even get that right. between us and you is that we weren't customers. We weren't paying customers. Mm. So therefore, if the lecturers decided to take the afternoon off, which quite often they did, usually to have a sort of boozy wine and cheese.
Or I took the afternoon off, which is more likely. Yeah.
It didn't matter so much. But you guys are in a different situation. Mm. So tell us, you know, what was it like? How was your university experience?
I think Jovita we should ask
first. Yes.
Look, I loved university. I did an undergrad programme that was also based around forensic science, psychology. Loved it so much that I wanted to go ahead and keep on studying. I still kind of want to do a PhD at some point. So I was really excited. And I was so excited to do a master's degree at a top 10 university in the world. I mean, when I had almost failed my A-levels, I never thought that was going to be possible. It's a prestigious university. People know what UCL is. Their facilities were sold, you know, to me as being incredible. Their labs, things that I've never seen before, being able to work with human remains, which for us, forensic science, weird lot, was really, really an exciting thought.
And that's not just the geography department.
That is a terrible joke.
It's a good joke. Come on.
And for that, they were charging so much money. So had I stayed...
How much were they charging,
so
by the way?
For me, they were charging £13,500.
Wow.
It was UCL and King's College, I believe, I was also looking at because they were so
amazing.
Did you
do joint honours?
Just one degree, one degree, crime and forensic science. And yeah, they were charging a lot more than any other uni in the country, which was charging the normal £9,000 because they are so great. They are top 10 in the world. And, you know, they've got students that go on and do amazing things and get great jobs and have fantastic salaries. So I was willing to pay that money. Mm. Student finance, of course, only funds, I think, £10,000. And that's supposed to fund your living and your education. Mm. So I had to then fund my rest £3,500, which I saved up for, which for a student is quite hard to save up because you work one day a week and you spend a lot of money on studying.
But then you've also got to pay for your accommodation.
Yes, exactly. And your journey
and
to and
London
from.
As well. I imagine that's
living
very expensive.
In London is very expensive.
So when did you start university? When did you start this course?
2020, and I finished in 2021.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you get any face-to-face tuition at all?
No, so I'm really grateful, actually. This one lecturer in anthropology was so passionate about us coming in and actually looking physically at these human bones, because it's impossible over Zoom, that once we actually completed the academic year, she managed to get us in for a few, I think it was 4 lab sessions for us just to have some practice. But I had already handed in my work by then. It was complete. But I am grateful for that. So I think, you know, credit's due. But no, I did crime scenes online. I was looking for evidence on Zoom. I did all my lectures from my home. It was awful, especially for forensic science. It's all about the practice, about, you know, PPE and collecting evidence and analysing it in the lab. I never got to do any of that, let alone the social aspect.
It's also about
aspect.
Talking to your fellow students about the ideas and the concepts and what's going on, and asking questions and having, you know, debates and disagreements and agreements and all of that kind of stuff. And if you can't do any of that, as you say, you might as well just read a book.
Absolutely. And I didn't go to that university, so I went to the University of Derby for my undergrad. I knew no one. I didn't know lecturers. I didn't know the area. I didn't know any of my colleagues. And it stayed like that. And I had my graduation a year later, and I couldn't tell you who I was sat next to. It meant nothing. It wasn't as nice as my undergrad one, where I was so happy to see my lecturers and we took pictures and threw our hats and, you know, went out afterwards. It was amazing. UCL, it was just a formality. I collected my certificate, I got on the tube, I went home.
Gosh.
I have to say that they are a bit like that. They were a bit like that in my day. I did just go and collect my certificate and go home.
But that was your choice, though, to
that
do
that. That was my choice to do that, exactly.
So, Olivia, is that a typical story that you've heard?
It is quite typical, yes. But I think courses like forensics have been obviously really badly impacted. The range of subjects offered by UCL and other universities is quite diverse, so they will have been impacted differently. But by and large, the sort of limited tuition, or, you know, you don't get many hours contact time across the board in any subject now, but that was even further reduced during COVID and industrial action, I should say, where there's been quite a significant dip in the number of teaching days delivered. So you're taking something away that's not very much already. And so all subjects have been really quite badly affected.
When you're a student these days, I mean, there's no contract, is there? So it's not as though you go to university and you sign a contract and the university says, I undertake to teach you.
Really? Is there not?
Well, there should be, shouldn't there?
Taking out a mortgage or something.
Sorry to jump in, but there are absolutely contracts, and all the universities have quite standardised terms and conditions. They vary slightly year to year and between university. But the claims that we're bringing for our clients are breach of contract claims. And we say that there are express, written terms and implied terms that require the universities to provide in-person tuition and physical access to facilities. And that includes, libraries is a really obvious one. Yes, we're lucky enough in the modern age to have access to lots of resources online, but often what these universities have are these incredible facilities with archives and very historic stuff and really cutting-edge academic journals that aren't always online. So when you have your physical access restricted in that way, you don't have the full suite of stuff available to you. And also, you know, we all know what it's like being a student. You don't have the quiet space to even study in your apartment flat.
I mean, when I was at university, I was doing medieval Italian, and I used to go to the Courtauld Institute, where I could actually read the original medieval texts, which was amazing, really. It was a fantastically sort of romantic and inspiring experience. It really was, because you were touching books that had been written 400 years ago, and it really meant something. And I think those experiences are really important, because university is not just about absorbing information and regurgitating it. It's about so much more. It's about, well, it's really about growing up, isn't it?
It's also the joy.
It's about having
the joy
a boyfriend with a snake, like I did.
Did you? How glamorous.
So embarrassing.
But I also think that it's about the banter within the students. I mean, there's no possibility to have a sort of creative banter if you're on Zoom.
No.
Because people cut across each other. Also, what I found weird was, weren't the university lecturers like the last people on earth to go back to work? I mean, the rest of us
on strike for most of February because Beatrice had literally about 3 days' lectures.
Yeah. But I think, didn't schools go back and then universities were still doing their lectures on Zoom? Javisa, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And then many of my lecturers also, I suppose, through no fault of their own, were stuck in different parts of the world where the restrictions were different. So then you find us having lectures at stupid o'clock and trying to kind of make it so that we agree on a time. I had my personal tutor who helped me with my dissertation, my research project, which is a 20,000 word piece of work of independent research. And bless him, he was in Australia, so we were having Zoom calls at ridiculous times. It would take a full 24 hours for him to reply reply to my emails or even see them because he'd be asleep when I was awake and vice versa. And everything just took longer and the support just wasn't there. And like I said, I know it's not his fault directly, but it was a ridiculous way to learn. During normal times, I would go and knock on my lecturer's office or see them after my lecture and ask them a question and I can get on with my work. But here it was like a backlog of days on days of you know, me thinking of a question and then having to wait a few days for him to respond.
And Olivia, what do you think your chances of success are? Because, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but it seems to me like it's a bit of a
I'm up the students.
Yeah, I'm
with
up
them.
The students too. Yeah, especially because I'm paying for obviously most of my
yes,
children's,
you are. Yes.
My children's university. Well, I mean, the whole way they award the tuition fees is completely insane. I mean, that's a whole other program. But what do you think the chances are? And if you do win a test case, isn't that going to open up? I mean, I don't know how many students would be in that cohort.
So in the claims against UCL currently, we're instructed by about 5,000 clients. And we've issued proceedings for 970-odd of those, but with another sort of 2,000 raring to go and get added onto the claim form. There are obviously many more clients out there. And across sort of all universities, we've received instructions from around 100,000 students. So it is a huge number. We're not yet at the test claim stage. We're in court today. I've just popped out for the group litigation order application, which is kind of a procedural thing. So I won't go and bore you with the details of that. But looking forwards, subject to the GLA being granted and the court ordering that it should be by test cases or lead claims, because there are different ways, and we win a test case, well, there probably have to be multiple test cases to reflect the different factual scenarios, but it will be have a huge bearing on our clients with claims against other universities, because it will essentially be the court agreeing with our construction of the contract. And if the court agrees that the universities were required to provide this in-person tuition physical access and they failed to do so without offering any recompense for that sort of access lost, then it's sort of much more incentive for the other defendants to settle earlier.
And what are you asking? Are you asking for financial? I mean, Jovita, what do you want? Do you want a financial reparation? I mean, presumably it wouldn't be the whole cost of the fees. It would be a percentage. What is it that you would be happy to have as a sort of...
No, it's all right. I mean, if I'm honest, I'm actually thrilled that anyone's even picked this up. And I just thought it was going to be something I'm quite annoyed about for the rest of my life. But we all went through it. You know, COVID was rubbish for everyone and, you know, more so for some people. So I'm thrilled of anything. But yeah, I think you can't justify charging more than the average university anyway. And then also not providing subpar education. I had students in not Russell Group universities that would go in once a week, but the rest of it was online. I had none of that. And I thought, that's really cheeky considering you're charging me more than friends. My friends had discounts. My friends had their rent subsided.
So Olivia, is this really just Russell Group that we're talking about?
No, we're not limiting it to Russell Group. We've sent letters before action to around 17 universities plus UCL. And it's really anyone who has failed to deliver the services that were promised under the contract.
Because also even boarding schools gave money back to...
Did they?
Yeah, to pupils because they weren't you know, giving them board and lodging and they weren't feeding them and they weren't actually having them in
which
their lessons.
Which is the correct thing to do.
The correct thing to do, yes. Yeah.
Well, I wish you both a lot of luck. I mean, I think it's only fair that you get a proportion of the fees back.
Can I just ask, Jovita, are you cutting up bodies yet?
No one will hire me because I did it online. So I'm not the most experienced person. So
what you'd actually like is to have your year of doing the cutting up of the bodies properly so that they can have the
job. Or if they could give me a nice reference for a really good job, that would be amazing.
Yes. Well, I really hope to see you on some cop show soon.
Yes, on CSI or other.
I'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, you could go and be one of those consultant people tell the actors how to do the cutting up.
Yes.
Yes, Olivia, and good luck with your own form of cutting up bodies.
Metaphorical
bodies. Thank you, and do come back.
When you win,
and tell us more. That was Jovita Maniak and Olivia Selly of Student Group Claim. If you would like more information, their website is studentgroupclaim.co.uk and we will put a link in the show notes. If you enjoy listening to The Half Hour, why not visit mailplus.co.uk/subscribe to get access to all our podcasts, videos, opinion pieces and more. If you would like to get in touch, tweet us at mailplus, me at westminsterwag, and Imogen, has Elon fixed your Twitter account yet?
No, of course he hasn't.
He's too busy interviewing the next president of the United States of America.
He's flying to the moon or
yes,
something.
Or doing something like
yes.
that. Anyway, you have been listening to The Female Half Hour with me, Sarah Vine, and Imogen Edwards-Jones. Oh, and the Twitterless Imogen Edwards-Jones. Thanks for listening. I thought I said witless.
Well, witless is equally true.